exist to see people reconciled to God and to one another. Hello, and thank you for visiting us here at the Bridge Church VA Online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
That's why we planted this church almost 2 years ago. And so today and next Sunday, I want to kind of irritate us a little bit. I want to make us uncomfortable. By all means, I'm not gonna embarrass you or anything. I don't want you to think that. But I wanna move us out of a comfort zone that I think sometimes we easily gravitate to, and myself included. It's very easy to kind of just stay to yourself. But what I want to challenge us to do, the thing that God is challenging me to do, even as your pastor, is to push us out. It's to push us out to now ultimately reach out. You guys know that our vision as a church is to see people reconciled to God and to one another. That the whole aspect of why our church exists is to see people connected to God and connected to each other. That is the picture of what the gospel message does. Gospel means good news. It means what Jesus has done for us on the cross through his life, death, burial, and the resurrection to put us into an eternal relationship with God and also in a relationship with others so that way we can be a part of the church, aka the family of God. That's why he did it. And so our vision at our church is to see people in a relationship with God and with one another. And one of the ways in which we do that here at our church is by doing a few things. But number one, I want to focus on the most important thing that we do in our church, and that is helping people follow Jesus. And I don't know if you guys kind of noticed when you were walking into the building, you may have saw that fabric sign. Some of you guys, like, you just got a beeline to come in service. You're like, I don't want to see nothing. I just want to see Jesus. So you don't look at nothing. You don't even look at the first impression saying, they'd be like, good morning. Like, it's like that, right? And they're like, oh my gosh, okay, whatever. But there's a sign out there that says we are committed to doing four things: helping people follow Jesus, connect with community, discover purpose, and serve others. Follow, connect, discover, serve. Follow, connect, discover, serve. I kind of ran this into the heads of our team members a few months ago that you should be able just to rattle this off. Follow, connect, discover, serve. Follow, connect, discover, serve. Make a song. Follow, connect, discover, serve. Rhyme with it. Follow, connect, discover, serve. It doesn't rhyme, but you get what I'm saying. Like, that's what we're called to do. That's what we're committed to do. It's to helping people follow Jesus. What do I mean by follow Jesus? Helping people place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to receive him as Lord and Savior. So we create weekend services really not just for the church people. We really create them for the person who's not connected to the local church. We create them in such of a way where people who are not in the family of God yet can become a part of the family of God. So we try to keep it as clear, not watered down, but as clear as possible so that way people can understand it. Because it's all about helping people follow Jesus. And helping people follow Jesus, it doesn't happen by accident. Because I think a lot of times, like, especially as we kind of stay connected to the church and we kind of stay in the church for a long period of time, as we grow in our faith, which is awesome, we should do that, we kind of become complacent and we just kind of think that people are just going to come to know Christ on their own. So it's like, oh, by osmosis, it's just going to happen. But that's so far from the truth. Because all what Scripture tells us is that when people were following Jesus, there were some intentional things that were done under the power and through the power of the Holy Spirit that were done by others to help other people follow Jesus. Which leads me to my sermon title today. If you're taking notes, I'm calling this sermon, An Experience Worth Sharing. An Experience Worth Sharing. An Experience Worth Sharing. I want to look at John chapter 1. And I actually want to read verse 29, and then I'm going to read the main portion of our text today. But in John chapter 1, around verse 29, I think we have that for you on the screen. Our media team is great. They're awesome. Love them. It says this: the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him. John, who is this John here? It's not the John who's actually writing this gospel account. It's actually a guy by the name of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner sent by God to proclaim the arrival and the coming of Jesus, to proclaim that Jesus was ushering in a new time, or aka the kingdom of God. So John saw Jesus coming toward him, and he said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Already, I love John's perspective on ministry, because John understands that ministry is not about me. It's about pointing other people to Jesus. So before you see anything else happen, you see John saying, look, the Lamb of God, the one who takes away the sins of the world. Now, the reason why this title that John uses to describe Jesus is important is because in the Old Testament, what God would do in order to pay for the sins of people is blood of animals would actually be used. And oftentimes, the blood of lambs would be used, which was considered to be one of the most purest, if not the most purest animal in that day and time. And so now when John says, look, the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world, what he's saying is Jesus is the Lamb who's come to take away the sins of mankind. That in the Old Testament, all these sacrifices had to be made on a regular basis because people sinned. That's you and I. But one sacrifice made by one person, God in flesh, Son of God, Son of Man, will be made and made once and for all. And his name is Jesus. So when John says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, he's pointing to the mission of Jesus. I want to read another scripture before we get into the main part. Luke 19 and 10, it speaks to the mission of Jesus. This is actually Jesus and actually what he's saying to some of his listeners. For the Son of Man, talking about himself, that was a title that was oftentimes referred to Jesus. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came, y'all. In other words, Jesus didn't come to make you rich. He didn't come to make you a millionaire. Do not believe everything that you hear. He didn't come so that way you can pile up all the degrees. Those are good, not knocking it. But that is not why he came. Your greatest problem is not money. Your greatest problem is not clothes. Your greatest problem is not a new house. Your greatest problem is the fact that you and I, prior to knowing Christ, have been eternally separated from God because of our sin. We were lost, as Jesus would say. But Jesus came to seek and to save you and me, the lost. That was his mission. That's why he came. And it hasn't changed. Matter of fact, 1 Timothy 1:15 says it like this. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Kind of to push it a little bit further of why Jesus came. Christ Jesus came into the world to what? Save, say it with me, sinners. To save sinners. You know who the Apostle Paul was talking about when he wrote that? Us. Matter of fact, Paul was saying like this. He says, of whom I am the worst. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us were far from God. Like if you're in a relationship with God, man, the only difference between you and somebody who's not is the grace. Doesn't mean you're better than them. Doesn't mean you look down your nose on them. As a matter of fact, it should cause you to be extremely humble. It should cause you to be extremely grateful. It should cause you to be extremely generous because you understand that the grace of God that is in your life, you did not work for. You could not earn, even on your best day, you still weren't hitting on anything. It is strictly because of the grace, the mercy, and the love of Jesus. He extended it to you. That's why Jesus came. Seeking to save the lost. To save sinners. So let's go back to John chapter 1. Let's pick up at verse 35. And here's where the meat of the passage will come from. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said the same thing he said in verse 29. Look, the Lamb of God. Verse 36. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. Verse 37. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Now, let me kind of give us a clarification on some of the terminology you see here. The word disciple just simply means follower or learner or student. So all throughout Scripture in the New Testament, you oftentimes see Christians referred to either as followers, Christians, disciples, whatever the case may be. They all speak to the same person. It's not like there's a hierarchy. I'm a Christian. Well, I'm a disciple. Well, I'm a follower. They're the same. It's the same, right? And so here's what happens here. John has two guys that are following him that are kind of his students. Not that they place their faith in John, but they place their faith in the one that John was proclaiming, which was Jesus. And so when John says, look, the Lamb of God, Andrew and this other guy by the name of John, who we find out these were the two disciples that were following John the Baptist later on in the scripture, they say, oh, snap, this was the one that you were preaching about? Well, we're going to go follow him. And you know what John says? No, 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 follow me. No, John says nothing. Why? Because John knew that his life and his ministry was only about one thing, and that was about pointing people to Jesus. That was all John the Baptist cared about. John knew who he was called to be. He was called to be somebody to point to Jesus. He was all about seeing people come to know Jesus. He cared nothing about himself. He cared all about the kingdom of God. He cared all about seeing the will of God come forth. He cared all about seeing people come into a relationship with Jesus. And the question I want to ask us today to kind of maybe start the irritation process that I was speaking of earlier. Do you care only about seeing people come to know Jesus? Is that the focal point of your life? I'm not saying that other things aren't important to you because they are and they should be. But at the core of who you are, do you care about seeing people come to know Jesus? Do you care about pointing other people to Jesus? That's what I want to drive in our hearts today. that we would be a church and we would be a people that is all about pointing people to Christ. One of the things that we make as a core value and a core commitment around here is to be Christ-centered. Why do we say Christ-centered? Because we want everything that we do to be shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ so that way people can see Jesus. This is why you would never hear me preach something like a self-help message. 5 steps to get out of debt. That's important. But you need 5 steps or you need 1 step to get out of the spiritual debt that you can't pay on your own. More than anything else. Those things are important. But what's of most importance is knowing Jesus. Our community's greatest need, and there's a lot of needs in our community. Yes, man, there's some mentorship that has to happen. Yes, man, people need school supplies, which is why we're doing this. But you know the greatest need in our community? People need to know Jesus, man. That when people know Jesus, man, that is what contributes to the racism becoming eradicated. That is what begins to cause some of the crime rates that you see in our city beginning to fall. That is when you see divorce rates beginning to fall because people have placed their hope and their faith and their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can do it, y'all. Only one who can do it. And John understands this, which is why his whole entire ministry was pointing to no one but Jesus. And so here's what I want to do. I want to look at 2 characters today. It's all about Jesus. And I want to show you how Jesus worked through 2 men's lives. These 2 characters in this text that we're going to read all throughout. Guys by the name of Andrew and Philip. Everybody say it with me. Andrew and Philip. I want you to keep their names in the back of your mind. Let's look at verse 37. Verse 37 says this. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, "What do you want?" They said, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" "Come," Jesus said, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Verse 40, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. So here's what you see in these verses. You see Andrew's experience with Jesus. Scripture says it like this around verse 38, 39, that he spent an entire day with Jesus. Man, I would love to know what they talked about. Because whatever it was, Andrew was convinced that he is the Son of God. Andrew was convinced that he is the Messiah. He has this life-changing experience with Jesus. He doesn't just kind of have, like, you know, the typical easy thing to do when it comes to coming to church, and you just kind of come to church and you kind of do the golf clap thing because the song kind of sounded good, the worship team was kind of good, and the preaching was okay. No, they actually have a life-changing experience with Jesus. Andrew has this life-changing experience with Jesus. But then I want to kind of jump to verse 43. Kind of go with me there. We're flipping around in the Bible today. Verse 43, same chapter. It says, the next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." So already you see Andrew's experience following Jesus. You see Philip's experience following Jesus. They have authentic experiences and encounters with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this, that before you can ever make an amazing impact for Jesus, you first have to be impacted by Jesus. You will never be able to go up and quote unquote shake up the gates of hell for the kingdom of God unless you actually have access to the kingdom of God through faith in the Lord Jesus. Like there's a story, I don't have time to kind of read it, but there's a story in the book of Acts where these guys who were kind of known as the 7 sons of Sceva, they actually tried to cast out a demon, and they were like, "Hey, we cast this demon out in the name of Paul, in the name of Jesus," and the demon is like, "Hold on. Paul we've heard of, Jesus we've heard of, we ain't never heard of y'all." And this guy who was actually possessed by the demon literally beats down these other 7 dudes who claim to have this experience with Jesus, and the Bible actually says that they ran out naked, bleeding. Don't be fooled. We are in spiritual warfare. And if you don't have the armor of Christ, which you receive through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I won't ever be able to produce the fruit that God has called us to produce. It starts with a relationship, man. It's all about relationship. God don't care about rituals and religion. He don't care nothing about that. It's all about relationship. Like, true religion, as it relates in the Bible, is a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not about you having this perfect to-do list. It's not about, oh, did I pray 5 hours today? Oh, did I actually, you know, bow down to the Lord Jesus? Did I close my eyes while I was praying in the car? Because I want to be super spiritual? No, you just want to meet Jesus quicker. Like, it's not about that. It's about, are you in a relationship with the Lord God through faith in His Son, Jesus Christ? That's what the whole Galatians series was about. And I got to stop because I don't want to preach the whole series again because it gets good. But notice what happens. Andrew and Philip, they had this real experience with Jesus. And here's what they do. What they do next is amazing. They share it. They share it. Because here's what happens. When we experience the goodness of God, we want to share it with others. Here's how I know this to be true. Because when you and I have an amazing experience, like if you go to a restaurant and the food was banging, I mean amazing, it was thebomb.com, you want to tell everybody about it. Like some of our team members, we talked a few weeks ago about this restaurant here in this area, kind of shameless plug, Scrimp Shack. Man, they got some amazing food. And like as soon as somebody brought it up, I was like, yes, God. Then he had to make the stank face, the I'm delivered face. Oh, yes, Scrimp Shack. The Lord Jesus touched those shrimp. It's anointed right there. Here's my point. You want to talk about it. You want to share about it. Right? So, like, if I'm not willing to talk about it and open up about it and share about it, well, we got to start to question whether or not you really had an experience. Y'all ever been around somebody who was, like, trying to tell you about something and you could tell by listening to them, you ain't been there. You ever see that movie? You don't know this person. Because experience is what actually leads to us sharing. If you truly believe in Jesus and have experienced His grace, His love, His forgiveness, it's not meant to remain with you. It's meant to be shared. I'll say it like this. Your experience with Jesus is not just for you to possess, but for you to pass on. It's not just for you to possess. It's for you to pass on. And so often what happens in the local church, and so often what happens with believers and Christians, and I love the local church, but I've seen it so many times in my almost 16 years of ministry, that what happens is we get this amazing encounter with Christ, we experience the love of Jesus, but it stops there. We don't go and share it. And in the meantime, we got a society that's around us and a community around us that's dying. Maybe that's part of the reason why the community doesn't really take the church seriously. Because the church never leaves this place and goes out into the community, which is actually where Jesus has called us to go share Christ with people. We never leave the four walls to go out to share the experience with others. How do we share the experience we have with Jesus with others? That's some of the questions that you ask. Like some of us, I believe, I want to give you the benefit of that. I believe all of us in here, like we know that we should talk about it. But if we could be honest, it's like, but where do I start? I don't really know where to start. And I would be a terrible pastor if I didn't really kind of give you some ways as to how that can happen. And so here's the thing that I hope for after this message is done, that you would be able to get rid of the excuses. That after today is done, as soon as you leave here today, you're going to be super intentional about going out and then sharing your experience. Here's a few things that I think this text teaches us. That we share our experience, number one, by taking the initiative. Taking the initiative. Everybody say, take the initiative. Everybody say, take the initiative. Here's what verse 41 says. Notice, after it says that Andrew, who was Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Notice what verse 41 says. It's very, very clear. The first thing, last time I checked, first thing means first thing, right? The first thing that Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. The first thing that Andrew did, he didn't go Facebook it. He didn't go tweet it. Go with me here. Obviously, I know they didn't have social media back then. The first thing he did was to go and tell. It was the first thing. He immediately went to Simon Peter to tell him that what? We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. What does Andrew do? He reaches out to his brother, somebody he was close to and had a relationship with. He obviously cared about Simon. Andrew says they found the Messiah, the Christ, which simply means anointed one, one who is anointed to carry out the will of God, the one who gives life, purpose, grace, and forgiveness. Andrew's saying, we have found him, y'all. We've been with him. This is real. This is real love, as Hillsong, Young and Free will say. Like, this is real. Some of you guys don't know what it is. It's okay. Just Google it. Like, this is real. We've experienced this for ourselves. And he immediately says, Peter, Simon Peter, bro, we found him. I've been with him. I know what it's like. And it's amazing. Because, man, how many of us are willing to actually do that? And how many of us have actually done that? I told you that this is going to kind of be a little bit of an irritation type of message, but I promise you it gets good at the end. But how often do we spend talking to others about Jesus versus just talking about Jesus? Because what I found is, like, women, we're good at talking about Jesus when we come in here on Sundays. But Monday through Friday, you mute. Mute button, we don't say nothing. Right? Crazy stuff happening around you, I'm going to just stay in my cubicle and drink my tea. And Jesus is like, no, I've called you to be salt and light. Andrew proves it to us. The first thing he does is he goes to tell Simon Peter about his experiences. As a matter of fact, all throughout Scripture, whenever you see Andrew mentioned, it's like he's always bringing somebody to Jesus. He's always bringing somebody to Jesus. It's amazing. He has this fire in him. But it gets better from there. Let's look at verse 45. Verse 45, kind of going to Philip. Or verse 44, it says this, like Philip, or Philip, like Andrew and Peter was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. What does it say in verse 45? Philip went and found Nathanael. Found Nathanael. I was thinking about calling this message Lost and Found, because multiple times all throughout this passage of Scripture, you see the word found. People who have been found by Jesus go back and go to others and find them for Jesus. That's what he's called us to do, to go find, because that's what Jesus did. I have come to seek and to save the lost. Philip and Andrew, they don't just keep their experience to themselves. They actually go and share it with other people. So here's what I want to say, that being with Jesus, one of our first responses should be to go to others and tell them about our experience with Jesus. Who is God calling you and I out to, right now, to reach out to in our sphere of influence? There are people in your family, there are people in your jobs, there are people in your community, there are people in your neighborhoods that need the hope of the world, which is Jesus. And he's calling you and I to go out and to open up our mouths and to go to him, to take the initiative. And here's what happens a lot of times in the church. We will sometimes kind of say, like, we know people need to come to Christ and we know we need to go make disciples, but we have the mentality, and because we have this mentality, it flows in how we live, that we're more so waiting for people to come. And Jesus is like, I commission you to go. Like, take the initiative. In other words, stop waiting for people to come to church. Go to people. Like, stop waiting for people to come to you and ask you about who Jesus is. Why don't you go start planting seeds? Like, stop waiting. And I get it. Like, some of us are like, but I'm really shy. My gosh, I'm not a people person. Well, you're not a Jesus person, because Jesus loves people. Right? My gosh, I just don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. Just go. Just go. That's it. And talk about your experience. That's it. You have to give this, like, 100-page thesis statement for the existence of Jesus, the historical type of background, and all these type of theological diatribes as to why Jesus is who he is. Tell people about your experience, because people may be able to argue facts and whatever, but they can never argue your experience. Go share your experience. Go tell people. All a witness does is get on the stand and tell what they saw and what they heard and what they experienced. That's all God is calling us to do, is to be witnesses in our campuses, in our communities, in our neighborhood, in our community, on our jobs. Be a witness. That's what he's calling us to do. Luke 19, 41 through 42. I don't have this up here, but it's interesting because Jesus was arriving in Jerusalem, and the first thing that it says that he did was he wept over the city. Why did he weep over the city? Because the city was far from God. Why also did he weep for the city? Because he had a heart for the city. Here's my question I want to ask us as a church family. Do we have a heart for Hampton Roads? Do we have a heart for the city of Hampton? Do we have a heart for the city of Newport News, for Virginia Beach, for Chesapeake, for Suffolk, man? We've been blessed to have people coming from all over the 757. But do we have a heart for these people? Do we have a heart for these communities? Or do we just live in these communities? Do we have a heart? Right? Your neighborhood is filled with plenty of people who don't know Jesus. Right? Shame on us if we just, like, get in our car. Man, I can't wait to worship Jesus. In the meantime, they're going to hell right now. And Jesus is like, man, it's awesome to come worship me, but I want you to lead others to me as well. That's what Andrew and Philip teach us here. That the experience that didn't just stay with them, they shared it. Because until we're moved by the fact that our cities are broken and in need of hope, we will never be moved to share the hope of the world. Earlier this week, I don't know if you guys heard about it, but I came across this article about how there was a guy in the city of Hampton who it was just a tragic moment. I actually want to kind of share this article that I found and that I actually shared on Facebook, in case you could, like, follow me on Facebook or whatever case. Maybe you probably saw that I posted. But it was just this tragedy about what happened in the city of Hampton, I think on Thursday. And here's how what happened. There was a man who was found dead Wednesday hanging from a goalpost on the football field at Y.H. Thomas Community Center right here in Hampton. Committed suicide. 22 years old, guys. 22. Why? Like, because there was no hope. He felt as if he had nothing to live for. But we have the hope. Like, if you read something like that, and you're not moved by that, like, if it doesn't almost move you to tears, maybe even move you to tears, if it doesn't move you to a place of action where you're saying, I need to do my part to share Christ with others, I'm questioning whether or not you really have been touched by the grace of God. Because there's no way I can read about an article about a man who's been created in the Imago Dei, which means the likeness and image of God, hanging from a goalpost in our city. That should compel us to go reach our city. Because there is great need. Jesus says like this in Matthew 9, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What's the harvest? The harvest is our community. The harvest is people who are far from God. The harvest is people who haven't received the gospel. The harvest are people who don't know Jesus. Jesus says, the problem is not whether or not the harvest is short. There's plenty of harvest. The problem is there's not enough workers out there doing what you're supposed to do. And you are, and I am, as a follower of Jesus, a worker. And what's the harvest field? Our community, our neighborhoods, our jobs. If don't nobody on your job notice you're a Christ follower, you are not doing it right. Like, seriously. You are called to be the resident pastor, theologian in your sphere of influence. I'm not saying that you just dispensing information to people, because information doesn't change people. Experience does. So I'm not asking you just to throw the entire Bible at them and say, look at this scripture, look at this scripture. That don't change people, y'all. Life change happens through experience and through relationship. And the way that happens is by us going out into our communities and building bridges so that way people can come to know Christ. My concern as your pastor is that we'll just come in here on Sundays and just kind of be content with Sundays. Guys, I'm not content with Sundays. I'm not. Like, it's awesome to kind of look out in this crowd and just see pretty much almost every seat full. But guys, that doesn't satisfy me, man. What satisfies me is doing the will of God. And part of us doing the will of God is us going out into the community and reaching our people and reaching our community. Here's what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 28. And I'm like super close to, like, I'm over my time like crazy. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Go. Everybody say go. You know what that means? Take the initiative. Stop waiting. Go. But God, I'm just waiting for instructions. I already gave it to you. Matthew 28, 2,000 years ago. Go. Go. But God, I don't know what to do. You've already been equipped to do what I've called you to do. Go. But God, I'm so shy. I'll give you the words to say. Go. But God, I'm not qualified. Who is in the Bible? You're qualified by my grace. Go. That's what he's calling us to do. Go. Go into your classroom. Go into your neighborhood. Go into your community. Go wherever you are and go share Christ with people. No matter if you're the youngest in here, if you're a preteen and a teenager, God has called you to go. If you're an older person, God has called you to go. If you're a young adult, God has called you to go. If you're married or single, God has called you to go. This great commission is not just for the pastor. It is for the body of Christ. It's called us to reach our community and to share Christ with others. Go. Go take the initiative. The Bridge Church, we will not be a church that is shy. We will not be a church that stays silent while we see crazy tragedy after tragedy happen in our community. We will be a great commandment. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And we will also be a great commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, all ethnicities, all backgrounds, all economic classes. That will be the church that we will be and that we are. We're not going to just be here that meets here on a Sunday morning. We're going to be out here in the community being salt and light. And Andrew and Philip shows us that that's at the core of the gospel. Here's the last thing. That sharing our experience is all about us taking the initiative, but sharing our experience is also, most importantly, extending an invitation, extending an invite. Notice what happens in verse 42. Andrew, it says this, we have found the Messiah. This is what he says to Simon Peter. And it says, and he brought him to Jesus. And he brought him to Jesus. Fellas, I'm good. You guys don't have to come up real quick. Hold on. Man, I love them because they're ready. They're ready to, like, get behind good preaching, right? He brought him to Jesus. He extended an invitation to experience Christ. That's what Andrew does in verse 42. But then in verses 44 through 46, notice what Philip does. Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip from Nathanael, and told him, "We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Notice what Nathanael says. Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth is the hood. What? You leave your car out there past a certain hour, man, that thing's gonna be on bricks. Nazareth? Really? Can anything come? Anything good come from Nazareth? Notice what Philip says. He doesn't try to debate Nathanael. He doesn't try to get in some theological diatribe lesson with him. You notice what Philip says? Come and see. Come and see. Come see for yourself. Because I know what I've experienced. Come see. God is calling us to extend an invite to people. That's all you got to do. Extend an invitation. Both Andrew and Philip extend this invite to their brothers to come and experience Jesus. I want to challenge us today to extend the opportunity for others to experience Christ. Extend it to them. What does that look like practically? Man, invite them to service on Sunday. Ask them if you could pray for them. Ask them if you could be a blessing to them. Ask them if you can kind of serve them in some capacity. Like, extend this invitation for them to experience Jesus. Like, it's not just enough for you just to go and tell. That's important. But you got to extend an invitation to them. You got to invite them. You got to invite them to come and see, right? Here's an irritation moment. Some of us have been coming to the Bridge Church on Sundays for a good while, and that's awesome. But many of us have yet to bring anybody with us on Sundays. You got half of it down pat, but the other half is lacking. God is saying, it's not enough, because people need to experience what you experience on a regular basis. People need what you have access to, which is a relationship with God. People need to be in a relationship with God. I want you to start looking at your invitation for somebody to experience Christ as an investment. I want to challenge you this week, starting today, to begin to make an investment for people in people. I want you to start praying for people. I want you to start reaching out to people that you know for a fact aren't a part of a local church, aren't connected to Christ, are far from God, maybe have some questions. Maybe they're atheists. Maybe they're Hindu. Maybe they're Muslim. Maybe they're Buddhist. Whatever the case may be, I want you to start praying for them that they will come to know Christ. And I want you to start praying, God, use me to build a bridge so that way they can come to know Christ. Use me to build a bridge, to extend an invitation so that way they can come to experience Christ. So even when you're inviting the people to Sunday services, you don't have to get into some crazy conversation about what the service is like. Just be like, hey, man, just come and check it out. I think you'll love it. Just come experience it. Words wouldn't do it justice. Just come check it out. If you don't like it, don't come back. That's cool. Like, I give you permission to say that. But man, some of us don't even get to that point because we never extend the invitation. As a matter of fact, to kind of show you how important this is and to show you how serious we are about reaching people, especially over these next few months, as we're getting ready to go into this harvest season, we're going to be starting a brand new series next week called You Asked For, where we're speaking directly to the issues that people deal with. We actually took a survey back in Easter where we asked you what were some of the messages that you wanted to hear God answer and get some clarity on what the Bible says about whether it's stress, whether it's parenting, whether it's relationships, whether it's this, that, and the other. And we're doing a whole series committed to that. This is the perfect time for you to begin to invite people. Tell them, like, hey, our church is doing a series where we're speaking to some of the issues that every person deals with. Last time I checked, man, people want to know how to handle stress. People want to know how to deal with parenting. But what people don't know is the source in which it all comes from, which is Jesus. Extend the invitation to people, because that's what Philip and Andrew show us here. And here's what's amazing. I'm closing right here, guys. You can actually come up. Look at verse 42. Go back there. It says, after Andrew brings Simon Peter to Jesus, it says, Jesus looked at Simon Peter and said, you are Simon, son of Jonah. You will be called Cephas, which translated is Peter. Then look at verse 47, jumping down. When Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, this is after Philip said, come and see. Jesus says to Nathanael, here truly is an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathanael says, how do you know me? I haven't even met you before. This is what he's saying to Jesus. Jesus answered, I saw you while you were still under the fig tree before Philip called you. You know, when I was reading this verse, I saw something very interesting here that I've never seen before. Jesus says, I saw you before. I saw you before. I saw you before. I saw you before. Jesus saw you and I before you and I ever came into a relationship with him. And he sees the same for other people as well. He saw them before. Jesus says this in verse 49. Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. And he says, you are the King of Israel. Verse 50, Jesus says, you believe because I told you, I saw you under the fig tree. You will see greater things than that. He then added, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of God. Do y'all see what is happening here? Simon Peter first has this experience with Jesus. Why? Because his brother Andrew extended the invite. And when Peter comes to Jesus, Jesus gives him a new name. You're going to be called Simon Peter, which means rock. And later on, Jesus would actually say to Peter, and upon this testimony, upon this ministry, I'm going to build my church, Peter. I'm going to use you to do an amazing thing. Acts chapter 2, fast forwarding. Peter's preaching to a crowd of thousands. And scripture says later on in Acts chapter 2 that in that day, after Peter preaches the gospel to them, 3,000 people give their lives to Christ. You know how that started? Because his brother Andrew came and reached out to him. Because his brother reached out to him. Guys, you don't even understand the eternal impact that you're making by extending the invitation to other people. Like, the person that God may lead you to share the gospel with, maybe the next person that God uses to lead thousands of people to Christ. And it's really not about, like, how many people are getting led and you leading this amount of people and me leading this amount of people, because at the end of the day, it's all about Jesus, man. But it all starts with us extending that invitation. That's what it's about. And even Nathanael, Jesus says to Nathanael, Nathanael, you're going to see some stuff that you've never seen before. I'm going to use you to do amazing things. I'm going to use you to transform the world. How does that happen? Because his brother Philip extended the invitation to him. He extended the invite to him. So the question I'm going to ask us today is right now, and I believe that God has called you and I to do this, and I believe that there's some people right now in your life that you know of that you need to extend the invitation to. You need to extend the invite for them to come to service on Sundays. Extend the invite for them to be a part of small groups once we start that. You need to extend the invitation for them to come to know Jesus. God is calling you and I to do that. So here's the challenge that I want to give us. Here's the practical challenge that I want to give us today. I'm challenging all of us, myself included. I don't want you to think that I'm above this, because I'm not. I'm a follower of Christ before I'm a pastor. That all of us in here, I'm challenging us this week to invest and to invite at least two people. That's what I'm challenging us to do. At least two people. And I don't want us to kind of get in our mind that once this week is done, oh, I did it, I'm good. Guys, this is an ongoing process. Making disciples is a lifelong process until the day we die. Because here's the reality, man. There's still a community that's far from God. There's still a community that doesn't know Jesus. There's still people who are orphans. There's still people who think that they have to commit suicide because they don't have anything to live for. But man, we got the hope of the world. And his name is Jesus. Amen? Come on, like, we have the hope of the world.